Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf ches in Avodah Zarah. We are up to speed and right where we should be. We just finished the bottom of the Amud. Let's start again from the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. Let's talk about when we should be asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for our needs within the Shemoneh Esrei. So there are, so far in a Braisa, two positions which are being quoted. Before Shemoneh Esrei, after Shemoneh Esrei. Right, not the position which we would normally have assumed, which we're going to be discussing just a little bit, which is actually during Shemoneh Esrei, but rather before or after. The machlokas that the Gemara brings down is can be found on the bottom of the page. The Gemara tries to give some sort of svar as to what the machlokas is all about. So the Gemara says, "B'maika meflisa, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar in terms of when we petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" So the Gemara answers, "K'darash Rav Simlai, darash Rav Simlai, lo lemisad adam shivcho shal malkom v'achar kach yispalal." A person should set up the shevach, the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and afterwards he should daven. Minol, and how do I know that? Mimoshe Rabbeinu, we know it from Moshe Dechziv. Hashem Elokim Atach Elos Elaros Ezav Dechal. Right, you began to show your greatness. In other words, so he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then afterwards, Ksiv Basrei, Evrana Ve'eres Aras Ezavah, allow me to go in and allow me to gain passage into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you see, the way Moshe did it is first praise, and then ask and petition. Okay, a certain amount of logic that comes with it. Think about any time that you want to ask for something. You don't want to just simply ask, so you praise, right? It's got to be sincere, obviously. And then afterwards you ask. So that's the setup that Moshe did. Rabbi Yeshua, Savar Yalfin Ami Moshe. Rabbi Yeshua says, good. And Moshe now will become our model, our base model. And if that's the way Moshe does it, that's the way we should do it as well. So first we should do Shevach, and then we should petition. Shani Moshe, I'm sorry, Yalfinu Mimoshe, Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar says, no, lo Yalfinu Mimoshe, we're not going to learn from Moshe. Shani Moshe, Derav Guvrai. Moshe was a great man. And as Rashi explains, Moshe can get away with praising first, because Moshe knows how to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Inish Baalma, Rashi writes, when it comes to the rest of us, it looks arrogant, it looks like, you know, we can't do it sincerely like Moshe can, and therefore to praise and then to make a request, it doesn't work for us. Not like Moshe. Okay? That is, so far, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua and the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, and then we have a third opinion. Lo k'divrei zeh v'lo k'divrei zeh. Neither. Meaning, it's not ask and then daven Shemoneh Esrei. It's not Shemoneh Esrei and then ask, but rather, lo k'divrei zeh v'lo k'divrei zeh, ala shol adam srachav bishomei tefillah. But rather, what you should do is that in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, when you get up to the brach of Shemei Tefillah, and you're asking God to listen to your prayer, then you should make any personal petition that you have in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. Skipping the parentheses, Am Rav Yehuda Bereid Rav Yishmol Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Afa Pisha Amru Shol Adam Sracha V'Shemei Tefillah. Even though that is the accepted, acknowledged halacha, that in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei during Shemei Tefillah, that's when you should be petitioning. Avalim Bal Omer B'Sof Kol Bracha U'Bracha Main Kol Bracha U'Bracha Omer. If, however, you want to make a request that contextually fits into the bracha that you're in, so then, in fact, you should do so. Okay? Rashi gives a couple of good examples. Rashi, right before the Mishnah, writes, Im haya mishkach tamudo. Let's say you tend to forget. Right? You learn, and you tend to forget your learning. And it's frustrating. So, marich b'chonin hadas. And then take the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, and use that as an opportunity, the first bracha of the bakashos of Shemoneh Esrei, and use that as an opportunity to say, God, help me remember better. Or Rashi gives another example in Baal Tshuva. Let's say the person's a Baal Tshuva. Marich ba rotze b'tshuva. So then use the bracha of a rotze b'tshuva as a platform, as a springboard to get you more into the Baal Tshuva movement that you're in. Good. So those are a couple of examples that Rashi brings down in terms of how to fit your petitions in contextually into the bracha that you're in. Amra b'chia b'rash, amra v'afapish amru shol adam srachav v'shamei tefillah, im yesh lo chol v'soch beiso. The Gemara gives other examples. Let's say you have someone sick in your house. Omer b'birchas cholim. So then take rifa'enu as an opportunity to pray on behalf of cholim. And you're, I don't know the Sephardic Siddur well enough, I apologize. But if you take a look at your Ashkenazic Siddurim, you'll find over there, there's a paragraph that you can insert that you can daven on behalf of somebody who's sick in the bracha of Rufei Cholem Yisrael. Vim Tzarech LaParnasa, let's say you need more Parnasa, Amr Bebirchas Hashanim, so then use the next Baruch in Shmona Esrei. Amr Vishum and Levi, Afa Pisha Amru Shol Adam, Tzarech Vishomei Tfilah, Aval Imba Lomar Achat Tfilaso, Afilu Kasidu Yom HaKippurim Omer. What about after Shmona Esrei? After Shmona Esrei, you want to add some petitioning, even Afilu Kasidu Yom HaKippurim. Even if you want to insert as much as we do after Yom, on the davening like Yom Kippur, so then you have by all rights the ability to say that. Okay. Good. Look at the top tosas on the Amud. Top tosas on the Amud, right? The Dr. Zagi, none of this is going to speak to you because this is all Ashkenazic additions to the davening, right? You think Sfarim are the only ones who added to the davening? Ashkenazim do. However, I will say, not in our defense, but all the additions that were added by the Ashkenazim, we successfully ignored. So, except for Yamim Noraim. Yamim Noraim, we say it. But other than that, though, there's a whole bunch of additions that were added to davening that we that has come along since the time of the Rishonim. Look at Tosfos, Mashma Ava Be'emsa Tfilas Olam. In the middle of davening, you can't add anything to the middle of your Shmon Esrei. Yes, if you have a particular need that fits in with the bracha that you're saying, that you can add. But otherwise, though, you can't add stuff to Shmon Esrei. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Only additions can be made after you finish davening. Okay. Then Tosos writes, Uma shenagu ata betanios beis vehei. So there's an old Ashkenazic minhag to fast Bahab. Right? The Monday, Thursday, Monday before Rosh Chodesh. Right? You'll find some places do it. Right? Not that many. But there are places. Shenoagim laharich bepsuke derachame uveslichos bebirchos lachlanu. And now I don't know Siddurim that have this, but they have insertions in Slach Lanu in Shmon Esrei, right, longer davening, or added tefillah in the middle of Slach Lanu. So basically, Tosfos is asking this as a question: how do we do that? In other words, we just got done saying in the Gemara that if you have a personal need, you can ask it in the bracha that you're in. But generally speaking, you can't put additions into your Shmon Esrei. And meanwhile, we did that on our Bahav fast. We did that. So how do we do that? So Ikal Amemar Ditzibur Shani. So he says that when it comes to Tefillah B'tzibur, that's different. And there you can make additions. How we strike such a distinction? Mida Dehave Ahadam Rinan Al Yishal Adam Srachav Lo Begim Rishonos V'Lo Begim Achronos. The What
got all the additions and everything?
Every.
Oh, but this is okay. Good. Where am I? Oh, wait, I'm not. I never saw this letter before. This is yours.
Yes.
Okay. You get the. So me did the have the toaster says. You know what it's like? It's like ahad armina and al yishal adam tzrach of lo begim rishonos v'lo begim achronos. You know the Gemara bracha says that with the first three and the last three brachas of Shmona Esrei, first three are shevach, last three are hodaah. And meanwhile, the Gemara bracha says you can't add anything over there. V'hakaman shenagu krovitz begim rishonos. And we do. We add. It's a funny raya. In other words, the proof comes from the fact that you know where we add? Because we add. Right, it's the proof is kind of built into what we did historically with Shmona Esrei. Alalav Shalami Nadir Tzibur Shani. But again, when you get to Tefillah B'Tzibur, so you're allowed to add. That's Tosfos is Yesod. Krovitz, again, you'll find in your Siddurim, right in the back of the Siddur, you'll find Krovitz. Krovitz for Purim. Krovitz for what other Hanukkah's got Krovitz. Huh? Dalet Parshiyos have Krovitz, correct.
What's
Krovitz is, again, that's Ashkenazic talk. It's it's just extra davar, extra tefillahs that were added into the Shmona Esrei.
Especially after Tal and Geshem.
Right. That we do. Right? Okay. So we add. So Tosfos says, so how can you add in the middle of Shmona Esrei? So the answer is this, Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur you're allowed to add. It's only Tefillah B'Yachid that you're not allowed to add to your Shmona Esrei. Anything other than your personal needs that fits in contextually to the bracha. Okay, good. We start the next Mishnah. Mishnah now is going to talk about the pagan holidays, the Elu Idem Shalav Dikochavim. There are only really three to talk about. Obviously, the Mishnah discusses other types of holidays, but in terms of actual pagan holidays, three standardized, established pagan holidays. Ve'lo idem shalav de kochavim, there's Kalanda, Saturnura, and Kartison. Okay. Then, on top of that, we'll talk about what these holidays were. We're actually going to discuss later this morning the literally the birth of these holidays, where they originated from, and we'll have a much better understanding. Yom Genusya Shamachayim. Also, the Genesis Day of the King. It sounds like the birthday of the king. I say that pshat, although I realize that that can't be the pshat in the Mishnah, because look at the next line of the Mishnah. The Yom Haleida, and also the birthday of the king. So, all right, so we'll have to discuss later on, the Gemara will discuss later on, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Yom Ginusya Shel Malachim, the Genesis of the King. Maybe it could be talking about the inauguration of the king, we'll talk about that later on. The Yom HaMisa, also the death day of the king, right, which also turned into a pagan festivity. Divrei Rabbi Meir, V'chachamim Omrim, Kol Misa Sheyesh Basrefa, Yesh Ba'avodas Kochavim, Sheyin Basrefa, Ein Ba'avodas Kochavim. What they used to do is burn, when the king died, they burned all of his materials, all of his possessions, meaning it turned into a turned into a bonfire. If there was a bonfire associated with the death of a king, that turned into a pagan holiday. Otherwise, it was not that significant. Aval, Yom Taglachas, Zekano, Uvlorioso, the day that he gets a haircut, he cuts off the bloris. Bloris was some sort of special hairstyle that was worn by the Ovdei Avodas Kochavim. The Yom She'alah Bo Min Hayam, the day that they were rescued from the sea. She'yatzu Mibeis HaAsurim, the day they come out of jail. This is not talking about the king, necessarily. This could be talking about any idolater who turns that day into a idolatrous, you know, like his own personal yantif, right? L'havdil. The Ovdei Kochavim She'asa Mishtal of No, or the day that he makes a... right. Well, Mishnah of No is a wedding.
Oh.
Eino aser ela oso hayom va'oso ish bavad. That's personal. These are personal. Again, I'll use the word yontif, but you know what I mean. Right. These are like personal yontifs for the idolater, and consequently, the iser of not doing business and transaction with them is only for that individual, but it doesn't. It doesn't apply for anybody else. All right.
You would have had to know the person beforehand before you did all this stuff. You would have had to tell.
Right. This is all assuming that you know, that you have knowledge that this is, you know, this are things. All right, well, we will spend some time this morning talking about these three standardized pagan holidays that are talked about in the Mishnah, Kalanda, Saturna, and Kartisim. Amar, Rav Chanan, Barava, Kalanda, Chesyamim, Achat, Kufa. So, Kalanda is 8 days after the Tkufa. We're talking about Tkufa's Teves. Right, the winter solstice. Winter solstice is comes out now. What date? What's the date of the winter solstice?
December 27th.
December 21st. Okay, fine. Yeah, I know. We're all thinking the same thing, but that's fine. So it's the 8 days after the winter solstice begins, and Saturnura Ches Yamim Lifnei Tkufa. And Saturnura are 8 days before the solstice. So in other words, these are 8 day long pagan celebratory days. If you string it together, it comes out to 16 days in total. It is interesting, we already made this point before, the Gemara is going to make it now again, that in chronology, Kalanda is mentioned first, even though Kalanda comes after the solstice, and Saturnura comes before the solstice. V'simancha, and just a way to remember that, Acher V'kadam Tzarasani, Tan Rabbanan. And here we get a little historical background in terms of how these turned into pagan holidays. Lefishara Adam Rishon Yom Shemismait Vaholech. Okay? Let's take ourselves all the way back to Adam Rishon and him experiencing his first winter. Let's assume Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei. I know that sounds funny. What do you mean, let's assume? Isn't Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei? There is an opinion out there in the Gemara, which we're going to be talking about later on this morning, that Rosh Hashanah, actually Bris HaOlam, was not in Tishrei, but rather was in Nisan. Okay, but right now for our discussion, let's just start off with a safe assumption that Rosh Hashanah comes out in Tishrei, right, which it does, and let's now let's try to experience that first winter that Adam experienced, okay? And you don't know anything, meaning you don't know seasons, you don't know year, you don't know anything, and all you know is that the days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And so it's fair to assume, if that's all you had and that's all the knowledge you knew, it's fair to assume that the days are just going to continue to get shorter. So, Lefi Shirah, Adam Arishon Yom Shem Ismai V'Holech, Amar Oy Li Shema Bishvil Shesarachti Olam Chashuch Ba'adi V'Chozer L'Tov Avo. So he's thinking, look, it's my fault. Right? I'm the one who sinned, and consequently, the days are getting shorter, and this is it. And the days are just keep getting shorter until there's no longer any days. V'zui misa sheniknasa alai min ha-shamayim. And he also assumes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says death. And he doesn't know what the definition of death is. This could be part of the definition of what Misa is, says that there's simply not going to be any daylight. Amr v'yashav chesyam imitanis. And so now he's getting deeper and deeper into the winter, and so he fasted for 8 consecutive days, betanis v'tfila. V'kevin shirat kufas teves v'ra yom shemarech. But now he passes over the winter solstice. And now the days start getting longer. V'holech amar minhago sha'olam hu. So finally he understands, oh, it cycles. This is how the world works. Halach va'asa shmona yamim tovim. So then he made 8 days of yantif. Okay, l'shana ha'acheres. Now the next year, asan le'elu u'le'elu yamim tovim. Next year he made both days yamim tovim. Right, so somewhat similar to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av now is a day of mourning and fast because we assume that we associate with the destruction of the temple. But when the temple will be rebuilt, that day will be converted from a yom tanis to a yom mishta. So Adam Arishon experienced his own little Tisha B'Av, his mini Tisha B'Av, where that first year he really thought the world was coming to an end. He thought it was destruction, so the first year he fasted, and the next year he took those same days and he turns it into Yantif. So now what we have are 2 8-day periods, the 8 days before the solstice, the 8 days after the solstice, where Adam Arishon have nothing, of course, to do with idolatry. Adam Arishon was not an idolater, but he made them into days of Yantif. Hu kavam l'shem shamayim, v'heim kavam l'shem avodas kochavim. And then later generations turned it into days of idolatry. The Rambam, right, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, he basically writes, that's the genesis of all Avodah Zarah. All Avodah Zarah started off as being somewhat sincere, different various ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then it just kind of mutated and it turned into idolatry. And you find this idea, fam, right in the Gemara, that really these 8 days were days where Adam was trying to honor Kadosh Baruch Hu and thank Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it mutated into idolatry.
Why didn't it make into ours? If it was originated by Adam Rishon, why didn't it make it into, for us?
Well, I guess, I mean, what we should also celebrate it?
It started with Adam Rishon.
Right, right. It should have been more universally accepted. Okay.
But once it became a pagan.
Right, right. I mean, I'm saying it became.
It's a solar thing.
It turned into.
It's based on a misled idea. It's kind of weird for us to celebrate it now.
It became a pagan thing before.
I mean, our Yomim Tovim are dictated by the Torah, so the Torah didn't. I know, but that, right. It's a fair question. I don't have a. I don't know why the. But it didn't make it. So now the Gemara comes back to our assumptions. Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was creating Tishrei, Yomai Zutei Chazei, Yomai Richa, Akati Lo Chazei. So then you understand the whole story. It makes perfect sense. He never experienced a summer, a spring, or a summer. But there is a legitimate opinion in the Gemara that Benisa Nivra Olam, that the world was created in Nisan. By the way, many people feel that that's correct, that the world was created in Nisan.
According to Nalash, actually, you'll mention more. So if it was created in Nisan, right, the days actually start getting shorter from midsummer.
Right, that's basically what the Gemara is going to say. So, Benisan Ivra Olam, Ha Chazi La Yuma Tuva Vyuma Richa. So, the Gemara says, so what do you mean Adam didn't experience? He saw spring, he saw summer. So, the Gemara says, Da Havizute Kulehai Lo Chazi. Yeah, you can even sustain the position that the world was created in Nisan. And you can also say that Adam got nervous. Because look, even though he saw Nisan and he saw spring and he saw summer and he saw long days, but as the days get shorter and shorter, as you move into the depth of winter, like, you could still get nervous. He didn't know that they were going to expand back again. Okay, so Gemara says that this whole episode, historical episode, can be held by both positions, by the Tishrei Nivra Olam and the Nisan Nivra Olam. Tana Rabbanan Yom Shenivra Ba Adam Rishon Kevin Shashak Alav Chama Amar Oyli Shebishvil Shasarach Yolam Chashoch Ba'adi Vayachzor Olam Letohu Vavohu Vizui Misa Sheniknas Alayim in Hashemayim. Okay? We're now going to basically take the same idea, but instead of turning it into seasons, turn it into the first night. the first night that Adam Arishon experienced. He's thinking to himself, this is it. What happened? Sunset, now it's dark? Like, what's that? And so he assumed it's Yom Isa. And so he went into fasting and crying the whole night. Chava was crying the whole night. And then when the sun comes up, he says, that's Minhag Olam. Amad v'hikriv, and then what did he offer? Shor shekarnav kodmim lepirso sav. He offered a shor, an ox, but a special one. One where the horn developed before the hoof developed. Right? Normally, in the formation of these types of animals, hoof develops before the horn. But here, he offered this kind of animal. Shenamar. How do we know that? V'teitiv la'ashem mishur par makrin mafris. He bestowed good upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the ox. It was makrin mafris. First, the karen is mentioned, the horn, and then the parso stuff. Karen achas haisalo. It had one horn on it. Yes, sounds like a unicorn. Ben mitzcho, and the horn came out of his forehead. Shenamar v'teitiv la'ashem par makrin mafris. The Gemara is darshaning the word makrin, but first the Gemara says makrin tarte mashma. What do you mean the word makrin is in plural? I'm Rav Yehuda Nachman bar Nachman mikaren ksev. Yeah, but it doesn't have the yud. We may pronounce it makrin, but the way it's spelled, right, which is significant, is without it, and so therefore it could be pronounced mikaren. Okay. That is a discussion of the pagan holidays of Kalanda and Saturnara, which we're now designating, associating with Adam Arishon being the originator of these holidays. Again, they started as real, right, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it converts over to pagan holidays.
Did the Christians adopt these things too?
So you'll have to say that Christianity was founded on these pagan holidays, meaning that, look, they wanted to do. They wanted to appeal to the masses, and so therefore they took the, you know, what was the pagan holidays, and they just simply adopted.
But by the same token, you know, when we talk about, you know, like when they say the pagans celebrate coming out of prison or coming out of sea, they were going for the same occasion.
Right. Okay. So you'll see. By the way, it's interesting. We'll talk about weddings, right? You'll see that basically, our halachas for sheva brachas are basically going to be the same halachos for when is it idolatrous and when is it not idolatrous. You'll see what I mean later on. I'm Rav Masam Rami Shasa Kalanda V'chol Ayaros Asmucha La Mishtabos La Osan Ayaros Asur Samutar. So Gemara now, it sounds like a lot of, right, agadic Gemaras, but the Gemara now comes up with a real halachic question in the middle of all this discussion. What about suburbs of Rome who are not necessarily pagans and don't, you know, and are not necessarily celebrating these Roman pagan holidays. Can we do business with these surrounding cities? Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Kalanda Asura Lechol, he. Rabbi Yochanan Amar In Asura Ela Laovdei Bilvad. So here the Gemara brings down a machlokas whether or not these pagan holidays are standardized and universal, or no, limited only to those who actually worship it. So Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that it's only usher to the os to the Ovdei HaBavan, only to those who actually worship it. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's position is supported by Ibraisa. Alpha Pisham Rami Asa Kalanda Vachalayaros Asmuchasla Mishtabdosla. He Atzma in Asura Ela Ovdei HaBavan. Right? It may be universally accepted, but you only cannot do business with those who actually worship this particular idolatry. Saturnalia, Vikartsim, Vyam Ginusia Shamayachim, Vyam Shahumlach Mamelch Lafan of Asur, Acharav Mutter. On these days, Saturnia, Kartsim, the Genesis, the inauguration of the king, the day that the king was set up as a king, sounds again redundant, we'll discuss that later on. Before these days, meaning the 3-day period beforehand, it's going to be prohibited to engage in any type of business, but afterwards, it's mutter. The idolater who makes a wedding for his son, that person, only for that person, it's going to be aser, and only for that day. Amar Avashi Afanamin Tanina, Tadiktani, look back at our Mishnah. Mishnah seems to suggest the same thing as well. Yom Tiglacha Zekano of Lori Yasov, Yom Shalabam in a Yam, Yom Shiasa by Mesasurim, Ain Aster El Osa Yom Bavadva Osa Ish. Okay, Bishlam Osa Yom, Laafuk Elafan of Laacharav. Right, in our Mishnah it says Osa Yom, which clearly means not before and not after. Clearly. Ela Osa Ish Laafuke, my, when we say Osa Ish, what are we trying to preclude? My love, Laafuke, Mishubadav. Shmamina. You see that only the people that are serving the idol, for them it's going to be prohibited. You have somebody else who may even be subservient to that person and subject to that person, but still, the prohibition of not doing business is only with the person who is actually the Ove, the one who's serving the idolatry.
The person who has a sea, you can't even do business with it before because
he has a sea. No, but he turns that day into a pagan holiday, into his own private personal pagan holiday. So the next year, you know, he's going to make it into his own personal yontif. So you can't. So on that day, so only on that day, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Only on that day, and only for that one person, can you not do business? Shmamina. Okay, Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yisrael Shabechus Haaretz Oved Oved Avodas Kochavim B'Taharahein. The Yisrael living out in Chutz Haaretz Oved Avodas Kochavim B'Taharahein. They serve idolatry, but they do so in a state of Tahara. Okay. That, of course, sounds strange. Rashi writes, it's the second to last Rashi on the page, it's the last line on the page. B'tahara klamar, below kavana, v'ein samim alev. They don't do it intentionally, their heart's not into it. Kate said, Ove kocham sha'asa mishal of no v'zimin kol ha'yehudim sh'be'iro. Afa pisha ochli mishalahem v'shosim ha'shalahem v'shama shalahem ome lefneim ma'ale aleim akasuf ki ilu achlu mizivchei mesim. Let's say, right, the Gemara gives a description over here. You get invited to a idolater's wedding. You're Jewish. And you're eating your own food, and you're drinking your own drink, and you have your own people serving you, so you know that what you're eating and drinking is fine. It's ki'ilu achlu mizivche mesim. You are eating zivche mesim. Offering of the dead, meaning idolatry. He calls out to you, and you're going to be engaged in the zevach, in the offering of the idolaters. So, right, this is what the Gemara's intent was when it says that we are Ovid of Avodah Zarah B'Tahara, in a state of purity. What does that mean? It means we didn't mean to do it, we didn't intend to do it, but we did it. But we were Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Ve'ema ad achel. The Gemara says, maybe the Pshat in the Pasuk is that you're not considered a complicit Ovid of Avodah Zarah until you actually eat. My vikara lacha. What does that mean? Well, the first part in the pasuk vikara lacha mishas kriya. From the moment that he calls out to you, that he invites you, and you go and you eat, so now you are now considered a complicit partner in avodah zarah. Hilkach. Oh, let's keep the church out of it. Hilkach. Call Talson Yuman, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. Call Talson Yuman, keep me out of it. All 30 days, Bein Amalei Machmas Ilula, Uvein Lo Amalei Machmas Ilula, Aser. For 30 days, whether he says, here's what I mentioned earlier, and here's what I mean right now. Right, we are now going to be basically discussing, you now have your local pagan, your local idolater, and he's now making a wedding for his son, so at what point is that wedding going to be, he's going to ascribe and associate that wedding to his particular god, and by you participating and partaking of this wedding festivity, are you going to be now contributing to him, thanking his god? Oh God, again, God over here being lowercase g, oh God, thank you so much for, you know, for allowing me to have this feast and you and all that. So now, all these halachas that we're learning right now are basically the same halachos, and it's funny, it's Ksuvos Daf Ches. We're in Avodah Zarah Daf Ches. Ksuvos Daf Ches, that's where you're going to find all the halachas of Sheva Brachos. And it's going to be the same exact halachos in terms of when we make Sheva Brachos for a wedding. Kol Tosin Yuman Bein Amalei Machmas Yilula Vein Lo Amalei Machmas Yilula Aser. So, went in the 30 days after the wedding. So whether he says, I'm making a feast because of the wedding or not because of the wedding, for the next 30 days, the assumption is, the default position is, it's because of the wedding. And again, we're now talking not about a Jewish wedding, we're talking about an Avodah Zarah wedding. right, run by your local pagan family. So for those 30 days, you cannot partake in that because you will be contributing to Avodah Zarah. So the Baal HaBos will say, oh, thank God, lowercase g. And now you're contributing to Avodah Zarah. Mikan ve'elech, after 30 days. So after 30 days, if he tells you, you know, it's 6 months after the wedding, but I want to make another wedding feast in honor of the wedding of my son and my new daughter-in-law. So if he says it, so then you cannot participate. Now, is there ever statute of limitation? Like 10 years after the wedding, right? And they're still married. Which in America is a big deal. And it's and they're still married. And now, right, and he wants to make a wedding feast. Is there any statute of limitation? It is a year after they got married. So then, at that from the time they get married until a year later, they can, in fact, as long as they say they're making it for the purpose of their child's marriage, so you cannot participate in that because they are idolaters and you'll be contributing to idolatry. Umikar me'emas. Now, what about before the wedding? Meaning that the preparations for the wedding are getting intense, and he makes like a pre-wedding feast, like a bachelor's party, if you will. And as again, you're talking about our local pagan family, and you can't participate because he'll be thanking his God. When does that start? Amar Papa Mishmei Derava Michi Ramusari Be'asnisei. When they start soaking the barley to make the beer. Every good wedding, of course, has beer in it. And when they start soaking the barley for the beer, and whenever that is, so at that point in time now, it's going to be, you're going to come to that feast and he's going to say, oh, thank God.
Is this a source for drunkenness for pagans?
Is this a source? I don't know, but it highlights. Tresa Yarche Shasa. Right. All of us are tracing Yachishas Shari. Baharav Yitzhak Breda Ramishashi Ikala Bay Hahu of a Kochalvim, the Basa trace our Yachishase, Vishamai the Ode, Upirish. The Gemara tells a story with Rav Yitzchak, son of Rav Misharsha, that he was invited to a seuda of his local Ovid Avodah Zarah. And it was over a year after the wedding. But meanwhile, he overhears the owner say, thank my deity. Oh, Rav Yitzchak came over, and he was so excited, and he was so happy. And now he discovers that he is contributing to Avodah Zarah, and so the Gemara tells us that he ran out, he left the house, v'lo achal, and he didn't eat. But this is a year afterwards, over a year afterwards, and we just learned in the Braisa that over a year afterwards is fine. So Shani Rav Yitzchak Breda Rav Misharsha the Adam Chashav Hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he's an Adam Chashav. And what does that mean? Rashi says, Samech Mimenu Aovi Kochav Ma'od. He was such a relished guest. He was so cherished that even though he came well after a year after the marriage, but the father of the Chassan and Kala, if you will, right? He was so excited that Rav Yitzchak came over, even though it was well after a year. So he attributed that to his God, and that's why he's different. But for the rest of us, after a year after the wedding, we forgot about the wedding, and so you don't have to worry that you're going to be contributing to Avodah Zarah. Okay, we talked about there are three pagan holidays mentioned in our Mishnah. There is Kalanda, there is Saturnara, and there is Kartisim. Right. So we talked about Kalanda and Saturnara. Those are holidays that are around the winter solstice. In the reverse order, Saturnara is the 8 days before, Kalanda is the 8 days afterwards. Okay, and these are pagan holidays. Okay, to a certain degree, universally accepted in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Okay, now we're up to Kartisim. Okay, my Kartisim, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol, Yom Shetafsa Barami, Malchus, the day of the Roman conquest. Look at Tosfos. Second Tosfos on the page. Kartisim. Omer HaRav Rav Shmaya. Quotes in the name of Rav Shmaya. Early Balei Tosfos. B'lashon Yavan hu tafus. The word kartus in Greek. Anyone here study Greek back in their college days? No. Me neither. So the word kartus. I'm sorry. The word karat. Yeah. The word karat in Old Greek means conquest, conquer. And tfisa. I'm sorry, tafus tfisa shtayim, karat lashon tfisa, the sim lashon shtayim, and in Greek sim is two, or the second, if you will. Uperish derotz alamar tfisa shniya. This is now karti sim translates from Greek into the second conquest. V'nicha hadekarmin lakamen karti sim v'yom shetafsu rami malchus. And in fact, we're going to be learning later on in the Gemara, keep this in mind as we go through the rest of today's daf, that we're going to see that there were two conquest days for Rome. One when they originally conquered.
For Greece or for Rome?
This is Rome. This is all Rome. Even though Rome doesn't have their own language. Romans don't have their own independent language. So they adopted, the Gemara says this often, that the Romans just adopted the Greek culture.
Oh.
So, the Hachi Perusho Kartisim Tfisa Shnir. The Yom Shetaf Samachus Berishona, right? The Kartisim now is the second conquest of Rome. We'll talk more about that later on this morning. But now we have, right, one of the Baalei Tosfos explained to us what the word Kartisim means. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Yom Shetaf Sabar Rami Malchus VeHatanya Kartisim Yom Shetaf Sabar Rami Malchus Amar Rav Yosef Shtei Tfisos Tafsa Rami. So there are two Roman conquests. Achad Bimei Cleopatra Malchusa. One where Rome conquered Egypt. And then there's the original. Now again, the Gemara presents this to us out of chronological order, right? The Cleopatra conquest comes later. The one where they catch, where they conquer the Greeks, that was where the world rule changed from Greek to Roman. Dechi Asar Abdimi Amar Talsam Train Karve Abdu Romai Behada Yavane. 32 battles were waged between Rome and Greece, v'lo yachluhu adish atfinu liYisrael, as presented to us by our Gemara. There was actually a pact, a partnership made, an alliance made between Rome and the Jews. Right now, remember, the Jews conquered the Greeks. Right, we're talking now in Israel during the Second Temple. Obviously, we're referring to the Hashmonaim dynasty. Right, Hashmonaim waged a rebellion against the Greeks, and we have Hanukkah to celebrate that. So we are now in the middle of the Second Temple period. So at this point in time, Rome wanted to conquer the Greeks, had trouble doing so, and our Gemara tells us that there was an alliance made between Jews and the Romans. Ba'adayo. V'hachi asnu ba'adayo. I minan malchi, minaychu yiparchi, I minaychu malchi, minan yiparchi. And basically the partnership went like this. If the king comes from one, the other one will set up the governor. If the governor is set up one by one, the other one will provide the king. So you'll have some sort of dual rulership.
In Eretz Yisrael, at least.
It seems that way. Again, I'm not the history guy. So I don't have enough historical background to, right? All I know is the Gemara. And even that. Yeah. So but the Gemara says that's the way it was set up. And now we are going to get a little dialogue, a little political dialogue between Romans and Greeks. He says, look, we've been fighting wars now, 32 battles as described just a couple lines ago. But let's talk about this logically. Makes sense, right? This is real political... This is real negotiation. Makes sense that we should be in charge. Margolios ve'Aventova izamem yase basis lachavero. You have a Margolios, some sort of pearl, and you have a precious stone. Which is the base for what? Shachulei Margolios ve'Aventova. Well, Margolios should be the base. The Aventova is going to be on top of it. Aventova ve'inach. On the side of the Gemara, the Aruch says that it's Shoham. Okay, one of the stones that are placed into the Choshen. Evan Tova v'inach ezem and yaseh basis lechaver. Evan Tova le'inach. The Evan Tova becomes the base for the inach. Inach is apparently more precious than the Evan Tova. Inach v'sefer Torah ezem and yaseh basis lechavero. Look at this. This is now an argument, right? It should process this. This is an argument between the Greeks and the Romans. Romans and the Greeks. And they're saying, now, let's throw a sefer Torah into the mix. What goes on what? What becomes the basis for what? Enoch le Sefer Torah. So they answer, well, the Enoch will become the base for the Sefer Torah, meaning Sefer Torah is more precious than the Enoch. Now, by the way, it makes perfect sense. The Greeks highly respected the Torah. In fact, the relationship between Greeks and Torah is very strong. Right, Yafta Lokim LeYefes, the Yishkam Ba'Oel Shem. Right, they totally respected. It's clear from this Gemara over here. The Torah. So the Torah is going to now serve the onyx stone is going to serve as a basis for the Torah. Torah is more important. Shachulahu imkain anan sefer Torah gaban. So the Rome say to the Greek, we have the sefer Torah. Meaning the Jews created an alliance with us. Jews are with us. Rome says to Greece. So therefore we should be in charge. Visabadan kafulahu. And they bested the Greeks. So now Rome takes over. So we are sometime now in the middle of the Second Temple period when you have the transfer of power from Greece to Rome. Now remember, there was an alliance created, and there was a partnership created, and there was a alternating king-governor relationship between Rome and Israel. And the Gemara tells us that for 26 years that went. Right? Esther and Vishis, yeah. 26 years that went. Bahadi Yisrael, Mikan ve'elech ishtabdu behu. And then Rome said, okay, enough, we're in charge. Mi'ikara my darsh levasof my darsh. And the Gemara says, and the Ramban is very heavy on this idea of Mas alvasim labanim, that whatever took place between Yaakov and Esav is symbolic for the Roman Empire. Yaakov obviously is not just symbolic, but the forefather, the patriarch of the Jewish people. And whatever occurred between Yaakov and Esau is going to foreshadow the future generations and future history. So the Gemara doesn't say the words myself as him labanim. That the Ramban gets full credit for that. He's heavy on that idea. And here the Gemara basically uses that idea. My darsh, uvesof darsh, meikara darsh, nasa, v'nelcha, v'elcha l'negdecha. When Yaakov and Esav get back together again after Yaakov spends all his time with his cousin Lavan, so he meets up with Esav, and the proclamation was, let us go together, meaning let's form an alliance, let's form a partnership. Ulevesov darash, and then afterwards the drasha is Yavor na Adoni lefanai lefnei Abdo. No, you go first, Yaakov says to Esav, because I'm slow and it'll take me time to catch up. And now that's the story of Yaakov and Esav. Now move that generationally later on, and then you see that's exactly what happened with the Jews and the Romans. Jews and the Romans created first an alliance. That's the Nasa v'Nelcha, and then afterwards Rome says, you know what? We'll go ahead. We'll take charge. As Meshishnin to Kama Bamnusa Bahadi Yisrael Menalan. How do I know 26 years? So now, here we go. The Gemara will now give us years. The Amar Rav Kahana Kishachala Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yossi Shachulei. Rav Kahana tells the following story. Rabbi Shmuel Barav Yossi is sick. And Shachulei, and they sent him a letter. Rabbi Amor Lanu Shnaim Vigimel Dvarim Shamat Alana Misham Avicha. And they said, we want to hear. We want to hear things that were said in the name of your father. Amalahu. So now what he's going to give him is history. And he says the following. Years before the destruction of the Second Temple is when the Romans took over.
So
okay?
250, no, 70.
Approximately. 70 of the Common Era. So, flashback.
150 BC?
No, what's wrong with your math today?
150
You're a math guy.
What is it, 180? Oh, 180. I thought it was 220.
It's okay. Sorry. It's okay. You're forgiven. You. All's forgiven. So, right? So, so where are we? We are about 110 before the Common Era. Okay? So, Pashta Machus Arash Al Yisrael. Peshana Ad Lo Charva. I'm sorry. Peshana Ad Lo Charva Bayez Gazru Tumal Eretz Amin Val. And then 80 years prior to the destruction of the temple, right, so about 10 before the Common Era, so there was a gzera made on the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael that it's all Tamei, and on glass is going to be Mekabel Tuma. Mem Shana Ad Lo Charev Rabbi's Galus Sanhedrin V'yashra La Bechanus. 40 years prior to the destruction of the temple, the year 30 of the Common Era, the Sanhedrin was sent itself into exile. Lamai Hilchasa, now we're going to finish up with this, and tomorrow we're going to continue with the years. Lamai Hilchasa, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdim, Lamar Shalav Danu Dine Kenasa. So the Gemara's first approach, which we know is not the accepted approach, is that so they wouldn't be able to do kenasa, they wouldn't be able to do punitive fines. Dina kenasa sakadacha, the Gemara says, what do you mean, punitive fines? No, you know that's not true. Ma'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Barm Zachar Asor Ish Latov, Rav Yehuda Ben Bava Shmo, Shamalahu Nishachu Dina kenasa Smisra, Hananapin Rav Yehuda Ben Bava. We would no longer have the ability to give kenas. Why? Because as we learned in Sanhedrin, kenas can only be imposed by rabbis who have smicha, not the formal smicha that's given nowadays. It's a reverential term that's given nowadays. But we don't have real smicha, which is ish mipi ish, right? Transmitted from one generation to the next generation. We don't have that anymore. We just have a reverential term as rabbi, but it's not the real smicha. Knas can only be imposed by those that have real smicha. The chain was going to be broken. Rav Yehuda ben Bava kept the chain going. Nishtachu legarsin. I'm sorry. Dina kenasus meisol nishtachu legarsin. The Gemara says, "What do you mean? Forgotten? Just learn it." Elabatlu dina kenasus meisol. It means they wouldn't have existed anymore. Shegazer machas arashu gzera kolasam echia hareg vecholanis machiereg v'yishu samchem bo techarev utchom shasamchem bo yeaker. Right. The Romans said, "I don't want smicha anymore." They wanted to stop the whole smicha process, and this is after the destruction of the Second Temple, as you'll see in just a moment. Why I say that and. And they said, anyone who does it, anyone who receives it, the city where it's done in is all going to be destroyed. Ma'asar Rav Yehuda ben Bava halach v'yashav ben shnei harim gedolim ben shnei ayaros gedolos ben beis chomish shabbos ben Usha l'shafram. So he went between the towns of Usha and Shafram. V'samach sham chamisha zekenim. Five people there got smicha. And they are Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. We're talking about the generation post the destruction of the Second Temple. V'Rav Avye Mosif Afrim Rav Nechemya. Some add also Rav Nechemya to the list. Kevashi Ikira Behem Oivim. Now the Romans hear about it, and the Romans now go to where Smicha was being given. Amar Lahem Bini. So Rav Yehuda ben Bava says to the ones he gave Smicha to, Rutsu. Run away. Go. Amar Lo Rebbe V'Atab Mateh Alecha. They say to him, what about you? I'm going to be like a stone. Don't worry about me. They pierced him 300 times. They made his body like a sieve. Right? He looked like a strainer after they got done with him. And Rav Yehuda ben Bava sacrificed his life so that smicha would continue. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo tema dina knasos elo shlo dana dina nefashos. So the Gemara says correct. So in other words, smicha continued, and knasos continued even after the destruction of the temple. So let's go back. What we mean when we say that 40 years before Beis Din sent itself into exile? Why? So they wouldn't have to do capital punishment anymore. My time, and the reason why is kevin dechazed and fishel roshchem, because for those last 40 years that the temple existed, there was so much murder going on. V'lo yachlu limeidan, and they just simply could not judge. Amru mutav nigle memakom lamakom ki hechidol alechayvu. So let's go to exile, and they jumped exile from one place to another place. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that they went to 10 different locations from that point forward, and. And they can only judge capital cases while Beis Din is actually in the Lishkas HaGazis. Beis Din is no longer in the Lishkas HaGazis. They no longer have the ability to judge capital cases, and because there was so much crime and there was so much murder, they simply did not judge capital cases anymore, and this is now 40 years before the destruction of the temple. All this takes us back to the idea that Rome had two dates, one which they basically took over the Greeks, and then there's one where they had world domination. So we are now in the middle of our historical sugya, 180 years before the destruction of the temple, that's when the Romans took over. Okay? I'll stop over here. Tomorrow it's all history. And not only is it all history tomorrow, but Tosos on Daf Beis tomorrow is going to be talking about when we should celebrate Shemitah. Okay? Big discussion on Tosos tomorrow. Try to get it straight.